into Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26. And what the Lord had burdened my heart for to this evening really is regarding hindrances to prayer, to progress, to spiritual blessings in the meeting. And I'm so glad, Brother Gerth, you called out that first hymn tonight. So appropriate indeed for what is on my heart. And maybe you've had ministry on chapter 26 recently, but it's not a chapter that you hear too much on. And poor Isaac made the same mistake as Abraham did when he lied to Abimelech, and so we're not really going into that aspect of his life. Just a few things about the wells that were dug by Abraham. And rather than read the whole chapter, what I'll do is just refer to a few verses as we go along, and that would sort of save a little time. And we'll still be reading the scriptures, mind you. Genesis chapter 26, and let's read from verse 11. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, "He that touches..." To this evening, really, it's regarding hindrances to prayer, to progress, to spiritual blessings in the meeting. And I'm so glad, Brother Gerth, you called out that first hymn tonight. So appropriate indeed for what is on my heart. And maybe you've had ministry on chapter 26 recently, but it's not a chapter that you hear too much on. And poor Isaac made the same mistake as Abraham did when he lied to Abimelech. And so we're not really going into that aspect of his life. Just a few things about the wells that were dug by Abraham. And rather than read the whole chapter, what I'll do is just refer to a few verses as we go along, and that would sort of save a little time. And we'll still be reading the scriptures, mind you. Genesis chapter 26. And let's read from verse 11. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, "He that touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man became great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. Now, I don't believe it could get any better than that for Isaac. After all, the whole world wants protection, prosperity, and prominence. And Isaac had the whole three. God had blessed him indeed and given him the three. And he was a hard-working man, and his servants as well. And so he sought out to do something that was very needful. It was logic as far as he was concerned, for the simple reason that they belonged to him in the first place. It was the legacy left him. That is, his father, Abraham, had dug several wells. And he wanted to clear the wells up, and so he did, and he prospered in it. And then we come to that very sad part of the verse when it says, "And they envied him." I'd like to suggest that the stopping up of spiritual wells, number one, envy can be a very deadly sin. Envious, perhaps, of other people as to their progress, as to their prosperity, or maybe even their prominence in life. But envy is a thief, in a sense, of a lot of things. It robs an individual of their security. Many people envy others because they feel insecure. But in the church, of course, not suggesting for a moment we have this problem, but just in case, it's not difficult, mind you, to develop a spirit of envy. And we need to be very careful. And that's why we have the little expression here says, and the wells were stopped up with dirt. Well, I tell you, envy in the heart is dirt. I know it was literal dirt there, but spiritually speaking, it's also dirt. Clogs the mind. You lose your sense of direction and balance, spiritual balance. And after a while, it possesses you to a point where it'll just tear you apart and destroy you eventually. Envy is a very deadly sin. Make no mistake about it. So if we're going to pray, we want to be able to lift our hearts to God and be free from envy. Envy. Just quickly, I'm not going to go into the sermon, but I do have a message on this particular thing that many answers that do not come. Years ago, I heard one of the greatest teachers in the assembly give this message, and it was C. Ernest Tatham. He was one of the first speakers that we had here at our annual conference. He was the first conference we had. He was the first, one of the first speakers. Brother McDonald was the other one. And he said that prayer many times are not answered because, like Abraham, it was not according to the will of God. Abraham prayed regarding a certain thing, and God didn't answer because it was not according to the will of God. I'm not going to go into it in detail. I don't have the time. Moses' prayer was not answered because it was contrary to the word of God. And you have that, of course, in Deuteronomy 3. God told him he was not going to enter into the promised land. And when God says something, God carries it out. So there are some prayers that he will not answer because it's not according to his will. There are some prayers he will not answer because it's not according to his word. David prayed all night that the little boy, the baby, would live. But the baby died. And in that case, God did not answer David's prayer because it was not according to the government of God. You see, God has a government that he carries out that you and I may not even be aware of sometimes. God has a way of disciplining his children because we are his. And God is not going to answer every prayer because he's going to discipline us first. We have to learn that. It's a very difficult lesson to learn. And David prayed, but in the morning, the child was dead. The child died. In that case, the government of God was going to take that baby away from him because of his sin. And David knew that. You see? He knew it himself. The government of God is a very severe thing. And let me say in love, because you might charge me as being a little too severe sometimes, and I'm going to let you in a little secret. I go home some nights and can't sleep because I think that I have been a little too severe. But I went home and heard one of my favorite preachers, Adrian Rogers. And boy, what he put on his church Sunday, I was surprised. I said, Adrian, you're going to lose maybe 1,000 members. Man, he came down on that church. In fact, he said, when are you going to stop playing church? Now, he's talking to 1,000 membership in his church, by the way. And he repeated it. Boy, and some other things he said. I said, man, well, however, I hope I have been sincere in my deliberation of the Word of God, because I preach to myself first, then maybe I'm a little different than you, and I go home, I start preaching to myself again. And then when I go to bed, I'll be preaching to myself again when I'm trying to sleep, and I can't sleep, because I go over my message. It's something I have no control over it. But I don't want you to think I'm too severe, because it's a word. It's not me. God is going to discipline us. Our folk here in Spanish Wells, we must learn this. God forgives, but many times he will not answer our prayers because his government is going to be carried out. His disciplinary action is severe, but he's going to chastise us. You're not going to be chastised in heaven. When you get home to heaven, listen, there's no judgment for sin in heaven. None whatsoever. Calvary covers it all. Hallelujah. I'm glad for that. But we're going to get beaten down here. We need to learn that. We're not made aware of it enough. That's why we're so flippant. And we glibly, well, you might even destroy a person's character. So-and-so says so. I heard so. Without even thinking. Or it might be something else. Even in the church matters. You get involved in and you get critical and your comment are unkind. Listen. It's the word of God. It's the house of God. The young fellow said to Elisha, go up, you bald-headed. Go up, you bald-headed man. Now, they weren't laughing because he was a bald-headed man. They were teenagers. They weren't little children, by the way. You know what they were saying? Listen, you get away from here. We don't want you. Go up like Elijah. Get out of here. Get out of here. God says, I've had enough of this foolishness. He unleashed, what, 2 she-bears on him? The lesson we must learn is we cannot play with God. He is holy. I know you've been beaten sometimes by the Lord. I know I have. Correction is good. And so David's prayers were not answered because it was not according to the government of God. Then, lastly, there are prayers that are not answered because it's contrary to the wisdom of God. And Paul prayed that the thorn might be removed, remember, from his flesh. Whatever it was, I don't know. I have no idea. But he prayed. That man was responsible for performing a miracle of a man who fell out of a window and died. He went down in and raised him from the dead. And now his own body is plagued with some sort of problem, some physical thing that was really tormenting him. And he cried to God, I besought the Lord thrice. He didn't just say it 3 times in one night, but in 3 different occasions where he was so burdened about this thing. And he cried to God, oh God, please deliver me from this thing. And he said, and the Lord said to me, no. Saul, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. And so, we needn't think, I heard a man on television the other day, I said, he needs to study his Bible. Never take no for an answer. That is the most stupid statement I've ever heard in my life regarding prayer. Otherwise, you're going to try to change the mind of God in everything? Or in things that he has already planned? So then, remember, Paul said, but he left it in my flesh. Why? To keep me humble. To keep me humble. And the mighty apostle Paul recognized that. But there are many hindrances to prayer as well. These are just 4 basic reasons sometimes why God does not answer prayer. But we know that he does answer prayer. But then there are hindrances and the first one we already mentioned, and that is envy. Now, I have 4 pages. Don't get worried. We'll let you out on time tonight. I have 4 pages on hindrances to prayer. If I can get them printed up, what I'll do is staple the 4 pages together. Maybe get 50 of them, leave them at the back, and you can get them, Lord willing, on Thursday evening. Take them. You want to preach on them. You want to use them in the Bible study, Sunday school, whatever. Keep them for your own, but go over them yourself. And I read them again tonight, and it's really challenged my heart. Hindrances to prayer. There's so many of them, but they are some basic one. And so then, what did this dear servant of God do? What did Isaac do when these Philistines, because of envy, stopped up the well? Well, he moved on. He didn't want to pick a fight. He turned the other way. And he went in the other direction. Like Abraham said, Lot, my nephew, what is it you want? You take the pick. And he chose the well-watered plains, of course, of Sodom and Gomorrah, as you know. And he left. But let there be no strife, because we are brethren. Let there be no envy among us. We're brethren. And so even though they closed up the wells with dirt, he moved on and he went and he dug, cleaned out another one. And I might suggest that the old wells of the Word of God, you cannot change. Satan may try to disrupt. He might try to thwart. He may try to confuse. He may try to even give a different impression of them. But there are wells in the Bible, spiritual wells, that you and I can never, never taint or destroy. Because when you became a believer, the Spirit of God took possession in your heart. You were occupied with the Holy Spirit. If you were not, then you're not saved. You could write it down. Read Romans chapter 8. Do not take my word for it. The moment you became a Christian, you were possessed, filled with the Spirit. He dwelt in you. And that is your badge of suretyship, that's your badge of salvation, that's your badge of identity. You are a child of God because the Spirit of God dwells in you. Romans 8, I think it's verse 16. Very, very, very important. Now, but then later on in John chapter 7, you have springs of water. You have indwelt with the Holy Spirit, that wonderful stream, that spring, that deep well of eternal life and love in your heart. The Spirit is in you. But then a spring suggests bubbling, movement. And so it flows with clean water. And there's a spring now in your heart because you've learned to submit to the Spirit of God and to His control. And so you enjoy the spring of living water in you. All these things speak of the Holy Spirit. And they will unclog. They will help in protecting us and keeping us from sin. You know, Adrian, Mr. Rogers said something the Sunday was very, very intriguing. He said, I remember when I tried to be a good Christian, so that I could be filled with the Spirit. Do we try that? Well, Mr. Adrian, I know just what he's saying because that's what I used to do. I used to think that I had to really dot my I's, cross my T's. I had to be on my toes. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about being careless and living in the flesh. But I came to a place in life like Mr. Rogers did, Adrian Rogers. He said, it was when I realized how rotten I am, that I am really no good thing in me, like Paul said, in me dwelleth no good thing. And I realized that I was doing it in the energy of the flesh, and I was trying to develop my own spring of living water in my heart instead of being submissive to the Spirit of God. I realized then, I just turned my life over to Him in all my weakness and just as I am. And Mr. Rogers said, and what a difference it made in my life, because it brings us to the next phase of water. And John tells us the same thing. And so it's not just being indwelt with the Spirit. It's not now the bubbling spring of the Spirit of God in your heart, but it's rivers flowing in your life. And that's the part in our life many times we never get to. The river suggests joys abundant. Enjoying your eternal life. Happy in the Lord. Even through adverse circumstances, you have an inner peace and an inner joy. And you're enjoying the Lord. Rivers of living water. Well, I leave you to judge if we're drinking at this fountain or enjoying this part. Or can it be that the well is stopped up? with envy. So he cleaned another one out, and he had this springing water in verse 17. Notice, I want you to notice it with me, in verse 17. Well, look at verse 15. For all the wells which his father's servant had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines, had stopped them and filled them with dirt, filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. Verse 17, and Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham. So he was only cleaning out an old well. Okay? His father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names of which his father had called them. And Isaac's servant digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. Springing water. All right? And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him, and they digged another well, and they strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitnah. And so now we come to another situation. Every well that he unearthed, cleaned out, they wanted to fill it up again, and they wanted to demand it. But this time, from envy, it led to strife. Oh, I want to tell you something, beloved. Strife in a church will destroy it. If the well is hindered, the springing water is not flowing because of strife, it'll hinder our prayers. It'll hinder the blessing that we're longing to see in the days that are ahead in the crusade. I know God can overrule, but with his help, we want it to be determined to submit to the Spirit of the Lord and to his help so that we will not be envious. We will not be filled with strife, at war with one another. I like what the general said to two of his officers when they were arguing and really going to town, quarreling on the battlefield. Until the general said to the two officers in Great Britain, he said, gentlemen, look out yonder. The enemy is over there. The enemy is not your brother and your sister. The enemy is the flesh, the world, and the devil. They are the enemies of the church of Jesus Christ. And they will hate you. But God forbid that we should be at war with one another. Again, not suggesting that you are, but I'm only trying to reveal something, that these are the things that destroy power in a church or in one's life, as far as that matter. So we need to understand how serious this is. And then, of course, it leads to covetousness. And that was what was happening here in this case. But in the third attempt, instead of just striving with them, they hated them. Boy, now that is serious. Let me tell you something. There's no room for hatred in the Church of Jesus Christ. It's a no-no. If you hate anybody, check your life. Chances are you might not even be saved. Now, I didn't say that. John, and 1 John 1:7, because these wells that are, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's what cements our fellowship with God, you see, and brings us closer to himself. Yeah, there are many problems. He says, and if we say, chapter 2 and verse 4, listen, if we say, I know him and I don't keep his commandments, we are lying. That's what John says. And the truth is not in us. He says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. If I abide, that is obey, if I obey, I am abiding in him, I will walk as he wants me to walk. Verse 9 says, and he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness. Boy, that's strong, isn't it? He that hateth his brother is in darkness. Serious, you see. Our fellowship is impacted here, determined by this attitude before the Lord. And, of course, you've got additional problems. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And he said love of the Father is not in us, such as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's not of the Father. And that's what he meant by the world. The world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, covetousness, or the pride of life. But then you also have the wonderful progress of fellowship. Quickly, I want to say, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. I like that. And there is no occasion of stumbling or no occasion of scandal. You know why? You love your brother. You love your, because when I say love your brother, you know I mean love your sister too, don't you? Of course you do. But when you have love for your brethren, your sisters, you're walking in the light. It's a mark of identity that you are a child of God. You know, in John chapter 17, the great prayer of the Lord Jesus, which takes about 2.5 minutes, maybe, say 3 minutes, to read. And perhaps it's the longest public prayer that we have in the New Testament. And Jesus prayed. And you know, two things he said, and he said it very deliberately in his prayer. Father, that they may be one, even as we are one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me. Christian unity and Christian love, two things to identify us with him, and two things that prove that he came from God. They're serious, isn't it? Get a church that's in dissension, a church that is not really in unity, and a church that's not really loving one another. What we're doing, we are stopping up the well of belief by the unconverted people that Christ came from God. Man, it's so solemn. I trembled when I read that this morning. I trembled. I said, all right, Father. And yet there's the evidence. The mark and badge of a true Christian is our love for one another. So don't let the well be stopped up. But then, quickly, the preeminence of this fellowship, I think one of the brethren quoted it. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Boy, that's going to be a time of glorious fellowship. When you're going not only see him, you're going to be like him. Are you looking forward to that day? I want to tell you, if it's anything, like Paul said, I long for the day when I'm going to be unclothed. Get off those old rags that he was born in, the rag of flesh. And I'm going to be clothed with his garment of righteousness. And you're going to be like him. Going to see him for the first time, and we're going to be like him. I often try to wonder what it's going to be like. I know one thing, you could eat boiled fish if you want. You probably don't need to. He ate fish with his disciples on the Sea of Galilee, the shores of Galilee. He cooked it. Man, that's the best meal anybody could provide. But better still, he could soar up into the heavens and disappear in a moment of time. He could go right through the building. Can you imagine? If I try that tonight, you know you'd think I'm stupid. You know something, you'd be right. If I try to walk through that wall. Ah, but when I shall see him, when you shall see him, and you're going to be like him, you're going to be able to go through matter. No matter what it is. You go through a stone wall, if necessary. You're going to have a supernatural body. And I haven't heard one amen yet. Boy, I tell you, that's something to shout about, man. I want to try to encourage you with that note, all right? Because we've had a lot of things, of hindrances and whatnot. But there's going to be a wonderful time of fellowship as well. Glorious time of fellowship. Now, there are a lot of things said about wells there in the book of Genesis. We're not going to get time. It makes a wonderful study, though. If you have a little time, you take the well in Beersheba. Said, and the Lord appeared to him, the God of Abraham. He said, I have not forgotten my promise with your father Abraham. I am with thee, and I will bless thee for Abraham's sake. And God is saying to us tonight, I'm going to bless you for my son's sake. You think he's going to let his son down? Come on. Is he going to let the Lord Jesus down? No. He says, as he said, I will bless you, Isaac, for your father Abraham's sake, because I promised it to Abraham. And what is God saying to us today? He is not going to let us down because he promised us to his son. And Paul said, I shall present you in that day as a chaste virgin before him. And you're going to be purified. You're going to be clean, without blemish, without spot. And I'm going to do it for my son's sake. And he's not going to let his son down, believe me. It's going to take place. It's going to happen. Oh, but you know, there was a well called, and I don't know if I could pronounce it, not only one in Esak in Sitna, but Beer-Lahai-Roi. It says, the well of him who liveth and seeth. You find that in Genesis 16, 14. And of course, there's another well to Rehoboth. We read that in verse 22, if you're making any notes, and this one is good. This was called Rehoboth because there's plenty of room now. They left him alone. The Philistines said, look, man, this fellow won't give up. And so they literally left him alone. But this well, he named plenty of room. Enlargement. And that's the well that God wants us to enjoy, beloved, in the days that are before us. The name that I just quoted you, gave you there in verse 22. And this well is unstopped. Remember Jabez in his prayer, oh God, enlarge my coast. Lift your sights tonight, beloved. Lift your vision, your spiritual vision. Believe that God is able. We may be in the minority in many respects, things pertaining to the world. But with God, you are a majority. And never forget that. And whatever problem you may be faced with tonight, God is your father, is my father, that's a majority. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The world may think the devil's gaining a lot of ground. Listen, he's only struggling and he's breathing his last. He's got the death rattle or the rattle in his throat, should say. Because it won't be long before Christ will take him, the false prophet, and the beast and put them into the bottomless pit. It won't be long. And he knows he has a short time. That's why he is working the way he does over time. Don't let him work with us. Don't let him work in our midst. Don't let him occupy the place in our midst and get quarreling and envying and hatred or strife. Strife, striving like these people did over the well. Stopping up the well. God, what a prayer we could, on the very tonight or tomorrow morning, we could say, Lord, deliver me from stopping up the well of your blessing. I don't want to be a hindrance. That would be a great prayer in itself. And you may not be aware of any hindrance, neither may I. But it's good to be short accounts with God and good to be aware of these things so that we can pray and ask the Lord to just keep us and a place of submission. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What kind of a mind did he have? Only with his help I can have that mind. It was a humble mind. He became a servant. Servant to God. Assumed a body. Became obedient unto death, who was resurrection and life, yet he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. the very life of the Lord Jesus, the demeanor, his behavior, his power, his prayer life, all of these things, let this mind be in you. In chapter 4, he says to Cynthia and Odias, says, I beseech these two women that they be of what? The same mind. He could have said that about Peter as well, or Barnabas and Paul when they argued about the direction to take and whether to take John Mark. The Spirit of God could have said, let this mind be in you. We could go on and on quoting scripture. It's good to let the mind of the Lord be in our life. I'm not suggesting this for you because I have to practice these things myself. With his help only, it can be done. Shall we pray? Father, oh, we thank you for the glorious truth that the well, that springing well, that bubbling over well, vibrant, clear, clean, living water flowing through our beings. It's what we long to have. Take over our beings tonight, our life. Use it for your glory so that we shall be able to see, have, and enjoy rivers of living water flowing through our beings for the glory of God. We realize, Lord, in our own strength, we cannot really attain this. We can't work for it. We can't pump it up. We can't develop it. Some men try to do it, but we know it's an utter failure. For this power, this thing comes from thee. This virtue comes from yourself. This joy comes from yourself. Only help us, Lord. We're so weak. We're so weak. We need you. There are times that we're guilty of stopping up the well. Maybe with dirt, with envy, or with strife. Whatever it is, give us the help we need, that we will not be a hindrance, but rather be a help in the family of God and in the work of God. Remember again, Lord, we pray, this issue with the barroom licenses. Lord, the unconverted people think that we are against them. Help them to see. It is only against the thing itself. They do not understand this. We pray for their soul because we believe if they are saved, genuinely saved, it will cover a multitude of sins and deliver us from a lot of problems. And so we commend them to you and to your grace. And we pray that even through this crusade, we will see such a momentum built up and such an awakening that men will indeed cry to God in utter fear and trembling, godly fear, a reverence for thee. Seemingly, Lord, there is not that reverence for thee now. And so we're praying that there'll be holy days ahead. We're praying that it'll be the outpouring of the blessing of God upon us, such as we've never known. It may be a prelude to greater things. The rapture itself, we do not know. Help us then to be prepared. Be pleased to do thy bidding, O God. We leave it in your hands because we're so needy. We're so needy. Forgive us for our sin, for our lack, for our shortcomings. And be pleased to give us the strength to go on for you. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.